In our prayer time this morning, we also want to lift up Ernie, who is still undergoing some health issues and was in the hospital this past week and is recovering still. So keep her in your prayers. We witnessed a little miracle here a few minutes ago, didn't we? We started with two ushers, and then we had four ushers, and then the four ushers who took the collection weren't the two ushers who came down and brought the offering. Yeah, that was great. That's good to see, isn't it? If there's something that needs to be done in this church, you certainly pitch in and help out. Wonderful. This has been a busy week. It's been a busy week for me, and I'm sure for you as well. Did some visiting this week, and Tom and I can confirm and attest that Wayne Kaufman works. There's been some rumors there that he just sits back in his chair. We saw him on a lawnmower. So we know that Wayne works. Thursday all day, I was in Pittsburgh for a group that's been meeting of young and new clergy for several months now, and that's going to wrap up in 2 weeks. But I'm thankful for the time that I can spend with fellow pastors and to bounce ideas off of them and to see that God is working all over Western Pennsylvania in the people that God's calling up to serve in full-time ministry. Saturday, I met with a group called the District Committee on Ministry, called DCOM. Everything has an acronym in the United Methodist Church, DCOM. And again, wonderful affirmation with them, good conversation on how things are going here at Scout Level Trinity, and how we see God moving in this process all along the way. And Friday night, my team won the bowling championship in our league by 3 pins. By 3 pins. I had to bowl a 209 to do it, but we did it. And it was good. It was good. Several things going on this week as well. It's Nurses Week. Did you know it's Nurses Week? Nurses in here. Yeah. We know Jenny. Yep. Any others? Yep. Jenny, we're thankful for you, and you're not only a nurse for your full-time job, but you're our nurse here, too, and we appreciate that. So, Jenny always sits in a place where she can watch you in case something goes wrong, and she's always right there. We are thankful. And something about mothers this day, is there something going on with that? Yeah, it's more than just a Hallmark holiday. You know what a Hallmark holiday is, where we go and we get a card, and that's the end of it. Mothers are a wonderful blessing most of the time. Sometimes they're not. Let's be honest. Sometimes there may be people here in this room who your experience of your mother wasn't what God had intended it to be. And we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit can work in that relationship, that even if you haven't spoken to your mother in years or even decades, that redemption can take place in that relationship. My mother is one of the foundations of my faith. She faithfully dragged me to church and my family every Sunday, faithfully. And I know a lot of you have been praying for her because she had a stroke a few weeks ago, but she's doing well. She did fall again this week, even with the walker. I don't know. I don't think she was using the walker. But continue to lift up my mom in prayer. And I know that she listens to these when we put them on the internet. So to mom, happy Mother's Day. I always warn her. You know, I have this relationship with my mother. I say, at the first sign of drool, I'm sending you to a home. And when I visited her in the hospital a few weeks ago, I started looking at her like this. She said, "You're looking for drool, aren't you?" Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Just checking. And I pray that, it's the kind of relationship that you can have with your mother, that you can have that sort of levity, even in the midst of difficult and painful circumstances. I'm blessed to have my mom in my life. And I'm blessed to have another mom in my life. I give an award every year to the prettiest mom in the church. And I'm going to warn you, the judge is biased. But I'm going to give an award to the prettiest mom. There she is. Hey.
I'm so shocked.
Thanks, O'Shea's.
You know, I'm starting to think this is rigged.
The judge is biased, but...
5 years in a row, I think this is rigged.
5 years running. But yes, and the scriptures give us wonderful, wonderful examples of mothers in all sorts of circumstances. We always remember Sarah. Our goddaughter was named after Sarah in the scripture, Abraham's wife, who couldn't have children until she was 90 years old. And Sarah was named after Sarah in the Bible because my best friend, Coach, and Christy had to work quite a long time to get Sarah, and we're thankful for her. We remember Mary. And we remember Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel, who... Can you hear me now? Hey, we did that joke already. Okay, so this is another a very important day in the life of the church that a lot of us, we don't notice or even care all that much. It's been 40 days since Easter. 40 days since Easter. What's that? Yes, which means that last Thursday and now today we celebrate, besides Kristen, anybody know? Ascension Day. Ascension Day, the day which Jesus ascended into heaven. We celebrate that today. In fact, that's our message for today. And the fact that, does anybody notice that? I mean, it was Thursday and that kind of flew right by, and most churches won't even mention it. And why is it important? Why is that important? And to do that, let's dig into the Psalms. We're going to learn about Jesus in the Psalms. Psalm 47 today. Listen for God's word to these ancient words. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amidst shouts of joy, the Lord amidst the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a song of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together, friends. Lord, let every word of my mouth, let every meditation of our hearts this morning be pleasing unto you and acceptable in your sight. And may it change our lives so that we reflect more and more the image that you have created us in, the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. This we pray in his name. Amen. So, let's get theological. Let's really dig into some theology today. Boy, oh boy, you don't look excited at all. Yeah, theology, the study of God. And boy, oh boy, have we made theology dry as a bone. I once had a book of theology, and I showed Kristen the back cover of the author, and just seeing his picture put her to sleep. I once had a book of theology that turned to powder in my hands. It was so dry. How have we done that? How have we made the study of our God into this, oh my goodness, just boring and stale as can be? I can think of no better topic to talk about than God. And I can think of no better thing that I'd like to study than this God who has revealed the divine in a man known as Jesus Christ. So some questions, some deep theological questions. And we have been talking about these questions for 2,000 years. First question, is Jesus still human? Is Jesus still human? I saw a sign on one of the churches as I was passing, not a Methodist church, that said, Jesus was human, Jesus is God. And I think that's very bad theology, because I believe that Jesus Christ's humanity is the key to our relationship with God. And Jesus continues throughout existence for all eternity to be both God and human. We'll talk about that. Another question, and this has been debated. Where is the body of Jesus Christ? Where is the body of Jesus Christ? Kim's right. Kim pointed to heaven. Yeah, that's where the body is. And yet there are some who say that the body of Jesus Christ, when it ascended to a certain point, went poof and scattered all around the world. But I think it's important that we understand where Jesus is. We'll talk about that. What difference does it make? In fact, what difference does theology make? Why do we send people to seminaries and give them books this thick and tell them to learn about who God is? Let's talk about that. And an interesting question, because it all ties to this. Do you really have Jesus in your heart? Ever heard that expression? Do you have Jesus in your heart? And when I was little, that confounded me and confused me, because I pictured Jesus, the man, shrinking down to microscopic size and finding his way into my beating heart. And it didn't make a lot of sense. And so let's talk about that today. Do you have Jesus in your heart? We've been talking about this victorious life, a life that's made possible because Jesus rose from the dead and gives to us the hope of the resurrection. But the tomb is empty, and that body is missing. It's not here on earth where we can see and touch the physical body of Jesus Christ. And for a lot of us, that's confusing. If Jesus is not bodily with us, it makes it difficult for us to believe the reality that Jesus is with us. He is with us. The story in Acts goes that the disciples were walking with Jesus after his resurrection 40 days, and they came to a mountain. And as Jesus was teaching them, he ascended. His body left the earth and rose. Where it went after that? To heaven. How did that happen? I don't know. No one knows. It's just faith. We believe that. And as the disciples are looking, saying, "Oh, Jesus, where have you gone?" Angels stood among them. So why are you looking to heaven? Don't you know that this very same Jesus who you saw just now, bodily risen and ascended, is coming back, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. He's coming back. The ascension is our hope of that, that the body of Jesus Christ is with the Father in heaven. The disciples aren't allowed to stand around looking at the heavens saying, "Boy, I sure wish Jesus would come back." Because Jesus says, "You go and you tell the whole world all that you've seen. You are my witnesses. But wait for the Spirit before you get to work. Wait for the Spirit." Jesus tells his disciples that he must go so that the Spirit might come. Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit to the earth. Jesus didn't go into heaven and then become the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus were always the Trinity. And they always will be. But something strange has happened to the Trinity. One member of the Trinity has chosen to become human. He did not cease to be human when he ascended into heaven. Because, here's the key. With Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, not only is Jesus God with us, but in Jesus Christ, we can now say Jesus is us with God. Not only God with us, but us with God. What a powerful thing that Jesus has done. Jesus has opened the doors to heaven and welcomed us in, like a mother gathering her children, like a hen gathering her chicks. As the psalm says, Jesus gathers his people. And we are among those people because God has claimed us and called us and redeemed us by his blood. We have the witness of Stephen in Scripture. Stephen was not a disciple, but he was a follower of Jesus after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. And he was a powerful preacher, so much so that he got in trouble with the authorities, who saw him as a troublemaker. And so they had a false trial, convicted him, and sentenced him to death. And they stoned him. They took rocks and they hit him until he was dead. And in the midst of that execution, he looked into heaven, and who did he see? He says, "I see Jesus, and he is at the right hand of God the Father." And that made the people really mad. And Saul was among them. And as Saul was going out, continuing the persecution that began with this execution of Stephen, he was knocked off of his high horse. And he saw a light. And when he said, "Who are you, Lord?" the response was, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." Jesus didn't go into heaven and become something else. Jesus remains fully human with us. And now, through him, we have access to God. He's chosen to permanently dwell with us. What difference does that make? Makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Jesus opens the doors to heaven. I say, when you get to heaven, you're part of the family. You can sleep on God's couch. You can open up God's refrigerator and rifle through all of the things in there. You can't do that in some stranger's house, can you? You very quickly will find yourself in the wrong side of the law if you do that. But God offers that to us because of Jesus Christ. And Scripture says that Jesus is our mediator between God and us. We don't deserve to be speaking God's name. Think about that. Who are we that we would dare to speak God's name? In the Jewish tradition, they would not write down the holy name. They would take the vowels out and replace them because the name was too holy to write and too holy to speak. And yet, through Jesus, we can speak God's name. We are welcomed into the family. We can't approach God on our own. Who are we that we would do that? Our senses cannot process who God is without Jesus Christ. Because God is spirit, and we are human. And yet, God opens that door through Jesus Christ. This is big time. This is the deep theological questions. Can you see why I get a little excited about theology? God's opened the door for us to come in. Without that, we would have no way of accessing God. No way. But Jesus opens that to us. And in the Ascension, we celebrate his lordship. Jesus, as our mediator, has lived life with us, experienced every temptation that we experience, has felt every pain that we feel. Who better to judge the world than one who has experienced all things with us? We celebrate the Ascension. We celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we look forward to Pentecost. We look forward to the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit with power upon the church. And you know what color we celebrate that with? Red. If you want to wear red next week, that's a great week to do it. Because we celebrate that coming of the Holy Spirit and the flaming tongues that were placed upon the disciples so that when they went out and they spoke to the people, they could understand. The people understood the disciples in their own language. Pretty cool stuff. And we're going to celebrate with communion next week as well. The Spirit moving mightily upon the church. Human senses can't fathom that. Human senses can't fathom God. But Jesus opens that door. Jesus reaches out to all people through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our best friend. The Holy Spirit is our best friend because the Holy Spirit points us to God. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus and allows us to see what human senses cannot see. The fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Holy Spirit allows us to respond in faith to the grace that God is always, constantly pouring into our lives. Through the Holy Spirit, we encounter Jesus, whose physical body is in heaven, and yet he is with us because the Holy Spirit has chosen to dwell with us now. Jesus, in his physical body, could only be one place at one time. And yet, the Holy Spirit, Jesus can be everywhere, all at once. In fact, Jesus can even be in your heart. And not that thing that's going thump, thump, thump in your chest, but that the very essence of who you are, Jesus is with you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus Christ ascended, every one of us can say, I've got Jesus in my heart. I pray that's your prayer. So, happy Ascension Day. Happy Ascension Day. Did you put up the Ascension Day tree at your house? Exchange Ascension Day gifts? Yeah. Did we give Ascension Day cards to each other? No. But yet this moment in the church that we celebrate is the keys to heaven being opened. Not only God with us, but us with God. Thanks be to God. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.